Mooney Airplanes president resigns. Two are dead in the crash of a Texas TV news helicopter. And two Indian Airlines announced the tightest alliance ever. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, October 14th, 2008. Dennis Ferguson, who headed the Mooney Airplane Company as CEO from September of 2006 until last month, has resigned to pursue other interests. As ANN reported, Ferguson was replaced last month as CEO, but the company announced he'd be staying on as president. New Mooney CEO Robert Gowans credited Ferguson with helping the company make, quote, significant strides in both its operations and its position in the marketplace. We appreciate his service to the company and wish him the best, unquote. He then added, quote, while progress has been made in improving our efficiency, we know that in today's extremely competitive marketplace, it is imperative that we continue to strive for continuous improvement. That's what industry leaders like Mooney must do. Our management team is energized and we, along with our dealer partners, are excited about the future of Mooney, unquote. Authorities have now identified the two occupants of a Houston-area TV news helicopter who died when the aircraft went down yesterday in a wooded area while on its way to a news assignment. Local media reports indicate the crew was covering a shooting involving police for KTRK television when the station lost the uplink signal from the helo about 11:15 a.m. Central Time. The 1993 Bell Model 206L4 Long Ranger was called Sky-Eye HD-13 and crashed near suburban Magnolia, Texas. CBS 11 Television is reporting that authorities have identified the victims as pilot John Downhauer and photographer Dave Garrett. KTRK has confirmed the ID on the helicopter and says the two men on board were not employed by the station. Firefighters extinguished a fire caused by the crash. We'll have more details when they become available. Citing the sharp downturn in the global economy, two Indian airlines announced yesterday they'll join forces in order to survive. Jet Airways and Kingfisher Airlines say their alliance will, quote, significantly rationalize and reduce costs and provide improved standards of service and a wider choice of air travel options to consumers with immediate effect, unquote. The arrangement will allow the two carriers to code share on both domestic and international flights, subject to approval by Indian authorities. They'll also combine networks where allowed, consolidate crew training, cross-train for each other's fleets, and manage their fueling needs as a single entity. That level of consolidation would require a formal merger in many nations, but Jet and Kingfisher insist they'll maintain their separate brands, at least for now. A joint release states, quote, there will not be any mutual equity investments between the two companies, unquote. If you have a stake in the defense industry and you've wondered which U.S. presidential candidate would be better for your business, some defense analysts are saying you might as well toss a coin. Senator Barack Obama has promised defense spending cuts, and Senator John McCain brags of killing the first Boeing contract for a new Air Force aerial tanker. But the Fort Worth Star-Telegram notes that neither has spelled out what his defense policy will be. Lauren Thompson, an analyst with the Lexington Institute, is close to government and military leaders and a consultant to Lockheed Martin. Thompson observes, quote, they actually agree on almost everything, unquote. Steve Kosiak, a defense budget expert with the Center for Strategic and Budgetary Assessments in Washington, goes so far as to say that despite the stereotypes, quote, if you look historically, there's some reason to think there won't be that big of differences, unquote. Richard Danzig, a top Obama advisor on national security, was recently quoted by the Wall Street Journal as saying he, quote, doesn't see defense spending declining in the first years of an Obama administration, unquote. The 2009 defense budget just passed by Congress totals $515 billion, not including costs for the conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan. That budget is already in place, but some other matters have already been backburnered to see who wins the election and what overall policies will emerge. One example is a 2009 budget line that can be used to either buy parts for more F-22s or pay for shutting down the production line. The Pentagon and Congress have agreed to leave that decision to the next administration. Up next on ANN, Las Vegas McCarran International gambles on an improving economy. Analysts say a declining economy will make 2009 even worse for the airlines than 2008. And other analysts are saying all those new fees and falling oil prices mean just the opposite. You're listening to Aero News.
Okay. Right up front, let me say that Garmin does not give tax advice. We have lawyers who cringe at the very thought of suggesting there might be tax advantages to buying a new Garmin avionics system this year.
Did he say tax advantages?
Could that be construed as tax advice, either express or implied?
Yeah, like I said, lawyers. So I guess I won't be telling you that this year Congress is offering special bonus depreciation up to 50% in year one for qualified business equipment placed in service during 2008. Business equipment like, say, a new Garmin avionics stack. But you didn't hear that from me, right?
What did he just say?
Okay, better check with your tax consultant for guidance and your Garmin dealer for the installation. Garmin. Follow the leader.
See your tax advisor for guidance.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for October 14th. I'm Paul Plack. The perennial boomtown mentality of the Las Vegas market is producing a disagreement between the management of McCarran International Airport and some airline officials. For years, airport officials have watched passenger volume rapidly approaching capacity, and they're now in the middle of a multi-billion dollar expansion to accommodate it. But Southwest Airlines, which had earlier planned a nearly 50% increase in flights to Las Vegas, now says the expansion from 240 daily flights to 350 is on indefinite hold. Other airlines, which have announced capacity cuts, have even specifically targeted markets such as Las Vegas and Orlando for cuts because the leisure travel market is particularly price sensitive. The Associated Press reports passenger traffic at McCarran is down 4.8% in 2008 compared to last year, and notes airlines are projecting 12 to 15% fewer seats into Las Vegas going forward. But airport planners say that when the economy rebounds, they must be ready. The expansion currently underway includes a new $2.4 billion international terminal, a new pedestrian bridge, new gates, and a new heliport. Linda Macy, properties manager for Southwest Airlines, says airport management needs to slow down. Quote, there is clearly not a current need for increased capacity, unquote. She appealed to Clark County commissioners in July to cancel or delay all upgrades not justified by current needs. But so far, the expansion is moving ahead on schedule, and county officials say they'll be ready to handle 53 million passengers a year by 2012. If 2008 was an ugly year for airlines, 2009 could be worse. Florida-based airline consultant Stuart Klaskin tells the Rocky Mountain News, quote, if we'd talked in late August, I would have said the industry likely would have been marginally profitable next year and the demand would decline a bit in the fourth quarter but then stay constant. But factoring in the negative pressure from the last 30 days, I think the industry could lose up to $3 billion next year and that demand will decline an additional 3% to 5%, unquote. Klaskin's opinion isn't shared universally, and some analysts still believe the industry will be back in the black next year, especially if steeply declining oil prices continue to cooperate. Others believe businesses will rein in spending. That'll hit the airlines in one of their most profitable market segments. Observers differ on exactly how much air travel could fall, and some think the industry might actually post a profit next year if oil prices continue their steep slide, or even hold where they are. Frontier Airlines spokesman Steve Snyder says the economy is absolutely a concern. Quote, common sense tells you that as economic conditions continue to worsen and people lose faith in the economy, people are less likely to spend discretionary income. And when that happens, it does impact our bookings, unquote. Aviation consultant Mike Boyd says the recent economic deterioration has forced his firm to revise downward its employment forecast, now predicting airplane boardings at airports nationwide will drop 8.4% through 2010. Travelocity, where many price-conscious leisure flyers book their tickets, says its recent survey found 66% of respondents will decide whether to fly over the holidays based in part on the economy. About 78% say they still expect to fly. Terry Tripler, who runs the travel website terrytripler.com, sees a difference between media reports on the economy and the actual effect on airline customers. Quote, the economy is not immediately impacting everyone. I know very few people directly impacted in the past 2 weeks, unquote. One airline analyst who's still bullish on the 2009 outlook is Jamie Baker of J.P. Morgan Chase. Baker tells the Dallas Morning News that workforce and capacity cuts, combined with lower fuel prices and revenues from all those new fees, add up to a very good 2009 for the industry. In a research note last week, Baker said he sees a profit next year for every jet airline he follows, even if demand is weak. Quote, simply put, we are having a tough time modeling losses, unquote. At its weekly fix on Friday, crude oil closed at $77.70 a barrel. That's lower than at any time in the past year and down about 45% from the high in July. Jet fuel prices have followed, falling from well over $4 a gallon in early July to under $2.75 in recent days. Using Air Transport Association numbers, that decline could save the industry more than $23 billion in a year. The major U.S. carriers will start issuing their quarterly results this week. American Airlines parent company AMR reports tomorrow, followed by Southwest on Thursday. If you're going to weather the current economy, it helps to have access to deep pockets. Cessna is asking parent company Textron to provide financing for new aircraft owners who might otherwise be unable to find it. Bloomberg reports Cessna President Jack Pelton is not giving specific numbers, but says new orders for business jets have slowed during the past few weeks of the U.S.'s deepening financial crisis. Interviewed at NBAA in Orlando, Pelton said, quote, it's really hit us in the last 2 to 3 weeks. We are concerned. People are looking at their personal finances, and it's just not a priority right now, unquote. He adds, however, that a backlog of more than 3 years in business jet orders is forecast to see the company through the current period of economic uncertainty. Many of those orders come from foreign markets, offsetting slumping U.S. demand. Cessna is the world's biggest manufacturer of business jets and is not curbing its plans for development or production. The company offers 10 variants of its popular Citation, ranging from the five-passenger Citation Mustang at $2.8 million up to the new Citation Columbus, with seating for 8 passengers, intercontinental range, and a $27 million price tag. Still ahead, a Tomahawk pilot comes in too low on final over a busy street. An Arkansas airport commissioner catches a break from a prosecutor. And a U-2 pilot who feared he'd started World War III has gone west. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation, the Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, October 14th. I'm Paul Plack. A Piper Tomahawk on final approach to Fresno's Sierra Sky Park Saturday apparently got a little too low over a street bordering the airport and clipped the roof of a passing furniture truck. The Fresno Bee reports the pilot told investigators he was lined up for landing and thought he was at a good altitude when he hit the truck. The plane then crashed short of the runway. There were no injuries reported. The approach to runway 30 at Sierra Sky Park takes pilots over Herndon Avenue, which runs east-west along the south side of the airport. The westbound lanes were strewn with debris for hundreds of feet and were closed while police and firefighters examined the scene. The Tomahawk hit the ground about 25 feet north of Herndon and about 25 feet short of the runway. There was reportedly no debris on the runway itself. The FAA's N-number database lists the owner of the plane as Fresno's Golden Eagle Enterprises, which operates as Mazzi Flying Service at nearby Fresno Yosemite International Airport. Sierra Sky Park opened in 1947 and is home today to about 40 planes. The single runway is 2,920 feet long, with a displaced threshold 292 feet from the approach end of 30. No doubt in an attempt to avoid what happened on Saturday. Fifth Judicial Prosecuting Attorney David Gibbons has agreed to drop all charges against an Arkansas airport commissioner who was accused of taking an airplane without permission, then crashing it at another airport. The Russellville Courier reports 58-year-old Philip B. Calgar took the airplane without the owner's permission from the Russellville Municipal Airport, where he serves as commissioner, on October 5, 2007. He allegedly flew the Cessna 150 from Russellville to Clarksville to meet James Wheeler for a flying lesson. Apparently, on takeoff from Clarksville, Calgar applied well short of full throttle on takeoff, and Wheeler didn't notice the low power setting until it was too late to put the plane back down on the runway. The pair didn't gain enough altitude to clear power lines off the end of the runway and wound up hitting the wires and then the ground. The NTSB ruled the crash was caused by, quote, failure of the flight instructor to identify the lack of airplane performance in a timely manner and to reject the takeoff, the partial loss of engine power for undetermined reasons, and the presence of the power lines off the end of the runway. Calgar and Wheeler both suffered minor injuries. The plane was less fortunate and received substantial damage. Gibbons, the prosecuting attorney, said the owner of the plane apparently came to terms with Calgar on a settlement. Quote, he asked that the charges be dropped. In this instance, it was a theft of property case and there was no personal injury, and I decided to drop the charges at his request, unquote. Calgar had faced a maximum sentence of 1 year in prison and a $1,000 fine. Aero News has learned that Richard Stephen Heiser, a retired U.S. Air Force lieutenant colonel and U-2 spy plane pilot, who took the first reconnaissance photos of secret missile launch sites during the 1962 Cuban Missile Crisis, died October 6th at a nursing home in Port St. Joe, Florida. The 81-year-old was a longtime resident of nearby Apalachicola. The Los Angeles Times reports Heiser had suffered a series of strokes in recent years. In a 2005 interview with the Associated Press, Heiser said that no one was more relieved than he that the crisis ended peacefully, saying he didn't want to go down in history as the man who started World War III. Quote, I kind of felt like I was going to be looked at as the one who started the whole thing. I wasn't anxious to have that reputation, unquote. In October 1962, Heiser was one of 11 Air Force U-2 pilots who made 5 photo reconnaissance flights over Cuba in 9 days. On October 22, 1962, President John F. Kennedy, with the photos as proof, announced to the world that the Soviet Union was building secret launch sites for nuclear missiles just 90 miles south of Key West. 6 days later, the crisis ended when Soviet Premier Nikita Khrushchev agreed to withdraw the missiles. Heiser was born April 3, 1927, and grew up in Apalachicola, in the state's panhandle on the Gulf Coast. Following his graduation from what is now Florida State University, he flew Air Force combat missions during the Korean War and later served 2 combat tours during Vietnam. He retired in 1974 after 30 years of service and returned to Apalachicola. Heiser is survived by Jacqueline, his wife of 54 years, 3 sons, 8 grandchildren, a sister, and a grateful nation. And finally, 48-year-old Pythias Brown is in big trouble. Not only is he on unpaid leave from the Transportation Security Administration and facing the loss of his job, but the U.S. Attorney's Office in Newark got his bail set at $100,000 after charging him with stealing from airline passengers. If he's convicted, he faces up to 10 years in prison. Authorities say Brown, who's been working as a Newark Liberty Airport baggage screener, stole more than 100 cameras, laptops, cell phones, GPS devices, MP3 players, and other items from luggage being screened behind the airport ticket counter. Investigators say Brown's arrest came after they posed as buyers in an eBay auction of a camera stolen from CNN. The username allegedly used by Brown returns 260 buyer feedback entries on thousands of dollars worth of computers, cameras, and other gear. Authorities say the stolen camera on which they bid was recovered at Brown's home. Laura Uselding, a spokeswoman for the TSA, told Newsday that 465 transportation security officers had been terminated for theft since May 1st of 2003. That works out to be about 0.4% of the agency's employees. The news for Brown isn't all bad, though. He still apparently has people who believe in him. Those 260 buyer feedback comments on eBay were 100% positive. And his fiance, Dee, co-signed his unsecured bail bond. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is Don Barber, Executive Director of Sales and Marketing for Bell Augusta Aerospace Company. We'll talk, candidly at times, about the development and market viability of the BA-609 civilian tilt rotor, which was on display at NBAA this year. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.